Welcome to the podcast, What's So Important About My Legacy? This is your host, Ken Edwards.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are interested in leaving a legacy for Christ, you are in the right spot. Our promise is to provide you relevant, usable, and timely information to help you build a spiritual and financial legacy which honors Christ. As the manager of everything God has entrusted to us, we have the unique ability to shape the spiritual inheritance of our family. Building a legacy that points our family to God is the best gift we could ever give them. Our topic today is the schoolyard of faith. Some of us were privileged to grow up in a Christian home and receive a great foundation for our Christian walk of faith. In 2019, the organization, Ministry to Children, conducted a survey to answer the question, how do kids come to Christ? According to their findings, nearly 50% of adult Christians found Jesus while still living at home, and their parents had the greatest influence on their Christian faith. It's true. The schoolyard of faith is the home, a place God designed to equip the next generation with godly principles to build their life upon. Our guests today are Tim and Kristen Overman. After dealing with infertility for 7 years, God blessed them with biological children, five of them, five boys, all under the age of 11 years old. They're homeschoolers and active leaders in their local church. Kristen is a stay-at-home mom and runs the weekly preschool ministry at their church. They are both entrepreneurs at heart. She started Abundant Days Education to support families with educational resources, and Tim has a fitness business. We're delighted to have them as our guests today, so let's welcome them to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You are welcome. I've been looking forward to this discussion for some time because your story speaks well to our topic. So our audience has a chance to know you better. Share a bit of your background and your personal story.
We moved out to New Mexico in 1996. My dad actually worked for a lighting company at the time that moved him out here. Shortly after that, he became a youth pastor for about 5 or 6 years. And the church that we were going to is where I met Kristen, my wife, and we've been married 18 years.
Mm-hmm. I grew up actually in Spain. My parents were missionaries, church planters. And so I grew up knowing about scripture and the Bible and became a believer at a young age. But another part of our big part of our story is infertility. We actually were not able to get pregnant for a long time. We were told that we were likely never have biological children. We went through 3 adoptive mothers and all the adoptions fell through. It was a very difficult process. And during that time, God really especially stripped me of who I really was and just made me really focus on him. And so that's another part of our parenting story that has made us kind of the parents that we are, is that we do not take for granted the children that we have.
Wow, what a roller coaster ride that must have been. I can see why you cherish those boys so much. In the opening of this podcast, you heard the stats I quoted about the influence of parents on their children's faith. Why is teaching your children to follow Christ at a young age a high priority for you?
Scripture tells us that we're to teach these things to our children in every walk of life. That is a big deal for us as we raise our children. And one of the reasons that it is important for us, it's just that scripturally, we're told to do this. You want to add anything?
I truly believe it's the main way of discipleship and the main way of passing on God's truth is through families, that God has given parents the job of discipling their children. One of the phrases we have in our home is God's ways are best.
And you know, Kristen and I, like she said earlier, we had plenty of time before we had kids to think about what kind of home we wanted to have, how we were going to raise kids, what values. We had plenty of time 7 years to talk about those things with each other. And one of the things that we decided early on is, you know, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And this is one of the things he tells us to do. And it's one of the ways we can pay service to the Lord is raising children. And in our case, young men for Christ, because ultimately that's what they are. We're raising them to be godly men, not godly boys.
That long-term perspective to raise godly men changes your focus. The everyday frustrations and rat race of life become more tolerable with a long-range vision. Research shows the first 5 to 10 years of a child's life are the formative years of development, of their personality, values, and establishing the family culture. So why do you believe these are the important years to teach your children the ways of God?
Well, I think it's that idea of a foundation. These are the habits you have, the things that you see daily, are kind of last.
Yeah, I would agree. And I just think those early years are just so important, like Kristen said, to establish a firm foundation so that when they do get to the point where they're thinking their own thoughts and they're, you know, even in Thaddeus, who's 5, we see, you know, he has an opportunity to make a good decision or a bad decision. And before he gets to that point, we need to give him the tools to be able to make good decisions. And so those early years are just so important.
I think it's just important for foundational knowledge and for habits. I mean, there's so many things that you can just teach kids. This is automatic. And sometimes, you know, because you're the parent and they're only 4 or 5, they don't really question much. They're like, oh, this is what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what you do before to bed. You brush your teeth, you do this, we lay down, we read a story. And those things are automatic. And when they don't have them, Mom, you didn't read a story. Mom, you didn't sing this song. So I think those habits is one of the key things I think of in those early years. You're establishing habits that they just expect, that expectation of this is what you do. This is what life is about. This is who God is.
Yeah, it gives them that. It gives them a good perspective to start with. Like one of the first verses that we always teach the boys, I'll never remember the reference because I'm terrible with this. But it's the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. We want them to start with the idea that everything is God's. He is the ultimate authority. Everything is his. And getting those principles and ideas early on, I think, is just, it sets them up better later for a proper perspective and a proper worldview.
I find that very interesting. Your concept of parenting is stewardship, not just managing our money or the property or the environment in the way that God would want us to, but raising our children is stewardship too. As parents, we are stewarding one of God's most precious gifts, our children.
I think part of it is the perspective that God taught us through our experience of infertility is that we did not get pregnant. We did not try and we made it happen. We knew it was God. We knew it was given from him. And I think that just helped us have this eternal perspective of we only have them 18 years. Every birthday we think, man, we have them one less year till they're going to be gone. And so I think we have this idea of we only have them for maybe a quarter of their lives and then they're not ours anymore.
We're supposed to train them where they're supposed to go and then let them go.
We really do see as, you know, this is, they're just temporarily ours to teach them, to disciple them, to care for them so that someday they can be the arrows that Psalms 127 says we're going to shoot them out, you know.
While some parents can't wait to become empty nesters, you're preparing your boys to go out into the world as men of God. That's awesome. Now, in our early discussion about this podcast, you shared with me about your family mission vision statement. Tell us how this came about.
I think one of the reasons we do the whole mission and vision statement is all throughout Scripture, it's very clear God wants parents to be purposeful with their children.
So I did that and kind of made this list of 5 things that I wanted my boys to have. A relationship with God, if all possible. I wanted to direct them to God. I wanted them to be skillful at relationships, know how to deal with people. I wanted them to know how to deal with the resources they were given, whether it was talents or money. Then I wanted them to always look to God and be humble. As an addition to that, Tim and I have looked at 2 Timothy 2 and basically really have made that our goal for our boys, is that we want Tim, or Paul says to Timothy, entrust these things to faithful men. So there's kind of two parts to that. There was that one part of writing down all the things I feel like I needed to teach them. And then our kind of focus for creating faithful men.
So another way to look at this is you are making disciples, men of God. You know, we normally think of discipleship as something that happens after conversion. But you're taking this to a whole new level, starting the discipleship process at a very young age.
One of the first scripture verses we teach them is that the earth is the Lord's, and we try to establish in them that God is the ultimate authority. It's a pretty foundational concept, pretty simple, but it's something that we can interject into so many aspects of life. Whether it's Micah at gymnastics, are you performing for you, or are you performing for God? Or it's a discipline action. Who are you sinning against? Are you sinning against your brother? Are you sinning against your mom? Yeah, but ultimately, who are you sinning against? And just establishing that I would say that's probably the most important foundational principle, is that God is the ultimate authority. That's one of the ways that we kind of start with them.
Yes, God is the ultimate authority in our life. But this is totally opposite the way the world approaches truth. So I'm curious, how would you define a biblical worldview?
The way we view the world needs to be through the filter of scripture and our knowledge of who God is. Again, it's one of the reasons we set up very early in their life that God is the ultimate authority. And when you see things going on in the world, how does that measure to what God says we should be doing? Is it good? Is it bad? Does it match? And so we try to get them to look at everything through the filter of scripture and what they know about God.
Every adult that's listening can learn from what you just said. Our fact checker on life should be the Word of God and not the culture or the media. So I'm curious, have you had some victories in raising your children?
So, I mean, general victories, I always feel like when you see them doing something that isn't according with God's ways and you haven't told them, and it's them and the Holy Spirit together working, is always a great encouragement as a parent. And one example of that is one day we were having a really difficult time. They were at each other. And so we just stopped and I just said, everyone's going to get in the car. We're going to be quiet. And we went to Barnes and Noble, and I told them on the way there, we were going to drive around a little bit till we got there. And I wanted them to think of how they were treating each other and to confess what they were doing wrong and pray to the Holy Spirit to have the Holy Spirit help them to find a solution or something that they needed, a fruit of the Spirit, whatever it was, to do a better job. And I could have sat there and told them all the things that they did wrong and waved my finger at them and, you know, you did this, you did that. And I was just amazed at some of the things that they said. And they sat there and they confessed to one another, and they said, you know, I need to be more patient when I get mad at my brother when he does this. And they just sat there across the table, and it was just so, it was like God was telling me, you as a parent, is there, you know, again, they're mine. Get out of the way and let my Holy Spirit work in their heart. And so I think those things are definitely victories when you can kind of step out and see, you know, the Holy Spirit can work in my children just like he can work in me.
Wow, what a great story. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, regardless of our age. You know, we may have someone listening today who is saying, I'd love to be more like this family, but where do I start? How would you suggest they prepare their children to become men and women of God?
Obviously, start reading scripture together. Do, you know, have a devotion time, especially if they can't read. Read to them out of a good kid's Bible. And then as they get older, we came to the conclusion that we were, like Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We tell our boys they need to read their Bible. The other thing we have found has been great for our boys is just reading biographies of great mm-hmm. people, studying great people throughout history, good characters. One of the ones I can recommend is YWAM Publishing has stories of characters throughout history and missionary stories. And it shows our kids and even ourselves that there's so much that we can overcome with Christ, and having that, helping them see that really a biblical worldview is an eternal perspective on life.
And then one of the things I would say, and anybody who knows me is like, Tim always says this, but you got to pray. I know one of the things that stuck with me, my dad told me when we had Micah, he said, man, he said, Tim, if there was one thing I would do different raising children, I would pray more. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there's a spiritual battle every day, and there's a spiritual battle for the hearts and souls and minds of your kid. And so we need to fight that battle on our knees, and we need to be praying more and more for our kids, for the friends that they're going to have, for, in our case, the women that they're going to marry, that they be godly women, for the type of friends that our boys are going to be, for the type of influence that they're going to be. There's just so much. You can't pray enough. You really can't pray enough.
And what about grandparents? What advice would you give grandparents who want to help sow God's word into their grandchildren?
Spend time with them.
Yeah, spend purposeful time with them. Thankfully, our grandparents are pretty good about that, is good. And so that kind of purposeful time with the grandchildren and without the grandchildren, and passing on the older generation, passing to the younger generation, their wisdom and knowledge, I think is probably one of the most important things that grandparents can do. I know that's one of the things that I pray, is that our boys and the generations after us will be stronger in their faith than Kristen and I are, that strength and faith and that conviction and that legacy continues.
Amen.
And builds stronger and stronger generation after generation.
Well, do you have any final thoughts?
I know Kristen and I have both said on more than one occasion, I'd rather have a house, a noisy, crazy house, than have no children.
How true. The Bible says children are a heritage unto the Lord. They are part of God's plan to reach the next generation for Christ. Thank you, Tim and Kristen, for sharing with us today. And thanks to you for joining us. Each day we build our legacy as we leave our footprint on this world and our family for Christ. Please tell your friends and church family about us. Also hit the subscribe button or head over to footprintforgod.com to discover more. Until next time, this is your host, Ken Edwards, reminding us to build our footprint for God today so our family will follow the Lord tomorrow.